Welcome to Pipeline Meeting, where marketers come to talk about sales. I'm your host, Harris Kenny, and I'll be joined by a guest every Monday and Wednesday for brief 15-minute interviews where we'll share tips that you can apply to support your sales team and help them close more deals. If you don't have time to listen to this whole episode, you can skip ahead in the show notes in your podcast player or find the transcript at introcrm.com/podcast. All the episodes are published there.
The way I see it is you have the Upworks and the Fivers, people that can very tactically execute, which is great, right? You need someone to design ads for you. Okay, that's super specific. Or we have these very robust marketing agencies that tend to be high-level strategy and less execution support in some cases, whereas this is a marrying of those worlds.
So I'm a head of marketing. I've got my to-do list. I just had to maybe let go of contractors or people on my team, but I've still got these tasks in Asana or Trello or whatever, and now they've been assigned to me. And so I've got my tasks from before. I've got these bigger tasks. It sounds like if someone were to reach out to Natalie and say, okay, Natalie, can you help me? When they look at that list of tasks, there's entry-level things, but it sounds like what you're saying is that you can get help with more complex projects. You can get someone to take those things off your plate, the strategic things that maybe you're putting off because it takes too much time, but you know that you won't have time to do it.
Exactly. And that is what then makes all of the tactic entry-level stuff actually effective. Because as you know, and as the marketers who are listening to this know, everyone wants to be a marketer. And so you're getting ideas from everyone on the team, from the company owner, from all of the above. You're keeping a master list of all of everyone's wonderful ideas. But there is no way that based on the resources that are available that you can execute on everything. And not only execute on that, but do it well, make it actually work, and also be able to report back on that. And so you need that, like, what are we trying to do? What are our priorities to actually execute the things that make sense and leave the things that don't off of the plate for now, or leave it to the next quarter or whatever it is.
That could probably also include things like reevaluating a tech stack or maybe migrating tools and thinking strategically about like what order to do this if we're trying to save money in a certain area in order to invest somewhere else. I mean, it sounds like these are the types of things where you couldn't go to an agency to do this, and you can't go to an Upwork or a freelancer marketplace. Would either have to go to someone like you, or you're staying up at 3 a.m. trying to do it yourself and gut it out, right? I mean, because I don't understand how else we would do it.
You need someone who has the marketing leadership background and the ability to be a strategic leader while also understanding the tactical execution and the operations that go into marketing. One or the other, you might get lucky. You might have a great whatever it is, lead magnet that takes off, it does really well and people are interested in. But in terms of like a scalable marketing machine and marketing and sales machine, you just can't do that well if you're trying to be everywhere. And if the people that are working as part of the team, whoever is doing the marketing, doesn't have the insight and the understanding of why are we doing this and how is it moving us forward in some way.
You talk about on LinkedIn strategic marketing playbooks and these sort of custom tools. Can you give an example of a project with a client where you brought this capability and what that looked like for them? This is, I think, different than how people think about getting help as marketers. Can you share an example of a story of what that would look like?
You say that it would be really hard to delegate some things, and I agree with you. There are probably some things, but I've been doing this for years, and it doesn't matter if the company is 5 people or 50 people or 200 people. What marketing needs to be successful lives within a framework and lives within a, hey, we know we need this information. We know we need to understand our customer deeply. We need to understand how their what their path to purchase is and how we are facilitating that along the way and how we're positioning ourselves with all of these very basic things. How that's looked for clients. One of my favorite client projects I worked on, I helped them with an internal go-to-market program launch. And we planned, I want to say it was 15 events in a 1 month time period with less than 2 months of planning leading into that. And it included, I want to say it was like 11 person team. There were custom installations we were doing. It was in multiple locations. And the goal was to get in front of people and engage them. So that, as you can imagine, was a huge undertaking because we didn't have a lot of time to plan it. We wanted it to be extremely high quality and well done. So I was brought in to help facilitate all that and to say, this is how we're going to focus, creating all of the project plan and leading those meetings, creating plans for all of the team members who were part of it and what they needed to do logistically and where they needed to be, and bringing everyone along with what is our goal and why is this important? Because it was also a really big ask of the team members. Like, they were putting in extra hours. There were some cases where we were getting up very early in the morning to make this happen. And that's a much harder sell. And it just doesn't work when people don't see the, like, oh, this really makes a difference in terms of what we're trying to do. And I can understand why all these tactics and it's are important, because we have this overall goal and it went super well. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
It totally answers my question. Can you think of examples where a marketer, or maybe more a founder, was putting off a project, not because they don't have time, but because they're not familiar with it? Is a barrier that people have to overcome sometimes in working with someone like you, admitting they don't know how to do something? And it's just like, hey, maybe while I know a lot about marketing in general, and maybe even several specific things like email marketing or trade shows, right, you know, I don't know a lot about this social media platform or whatever. And how much of it is, or how often is it that you see people have to come to grips with that and say, okay, I'm just going to bring in someone who maybe knows more about this specific thing than me. It's not just necessarily that you bring in more time and more capacity, right, but also expertise. And that, yep, there's some level of humility in saying, yeah, I really don't know about this, even though I am running this show, I don't know about everything. How much is that psychology or emotional part of it? You know what I mean?
I've been super fortunate with the clients that I've gotten to work with. And, you know, my own marketing and sales process leads into that, right? I speak with people that look to me as a trusted advisor and someone that can come in and be really direct and make things happen and not be afraid to come into a situation and be a leader, even if we've just met or this is my first team meeting. Like, I've done this enough times to know when someone's going to be a really good partner in that way. I'll give you an example. I've had some smaller projects where the first couple calls with the client, they're not really going about the process in the way that I recommend. And there's a lot of talking over in the meetings and things like that versus, hey, we've hired you for a reason. Come in and we're excited to hit the ground running with you. And so I've just sort of learned how to look for those things. But there's a massive amount of people, and a lot of them are solopreneurs and small and like micro business owners that are so intimidated by marketing that they just don't touch it at all. I see a really big opportunity for those people, especially as more people pursue side hustles or pursue this different style of work, that you have to invest in marketing. And whether that's your time or your money or whatever it is, it's just a non-negotiable. Yes, it can be a barrier for people. And so anyone that listens to this, I would encourage, learn marketing. Invest in your ability to learn marketing and find someone that you trust to help guide you on that process for sure.
Okay. I think that's a really good transition to the founders and who may have even less background and maybe less familiarity, even though they have to on some level know what they're doing a little bit in order to get their company off the ground. How do you help people think about where to start with marketing? So most B2B companies, you know, our listeners tend to have relatively higher ticket items. And so there's going to be a little bit of a sales cycle. There's a little bit of education. A lot of them are doing inbound on some level. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some basic things like a website and probably a LinkedIn profile and personal in a company and whatever. But once you get past the basics, how do you help them think through which channels to test and focus on? How many channels are worth testing? Mm-hmm. At what point do you say, okay, we're just going to do a couple of things? What do you think about that? Once you've got your legs under you a little bit, you've got some customers, how do you decide when to pick a couple and focus on them versus test a few different things out? And how does the customer you're serving play into that? Because I'm sure it depends on who your customer are. But how do you go from like, okay, we went from sort of 0 to 1, but you want to go from like 1 to 10?
Yeah, really good question. And For that, I always start with what's working and how do we know? I know you're a big tech stack guy. People hear marketing data and conversion rate and all these things, and people that aren't marketers get very intimidated by that. And they think that they just need this really built out thing and this dashboard that like lives in the sky with all these magic marketing numbers. But it can be so much simpler than that. And especially if you are at level one, then where are your customers coming from? And where are they falling out of your process? I'm really big also on customer interviews and talking to people when you're at that level. That should be a big part of your marketing and sales, is having conversations and gathering verbatims and really understanding, why did this person purchase and how did they first hear about my business and what were their objections on the sales call, and really fine-tuning that before trying to say, okay, well, now we need a full content engine and we are trying to show up everywhere and we're maybe hiring someone to post a couple times a week. Like, that just might not be super effective because you're, again, trying to do too many things. And why would you not start with what's already working well and go deeper into that?
I love that. All right. Yeah. What didn't we cover? What did we miss? What else is on your mind?
So much of work is being rethought. And when you bring in someone that is at a high level and has several years of experience in their area of expertise, do you really need someone doing that for 40 plus hours a week? How effective could it be to have someone that's just there for a handful of hours, X number of hours, to help you get that up and running, and then bring in someone that can keep it going, right? That can then keep the lights on. And that's really what I do for clients, is I work myself out of a job eventually. And on a lot of projects, I've been brought in for, you have a campaign, we need you here for 3 months. What ends up happening is I come in and really enjoy being part of the team, and the client extends the contract for a year. It really gives you this opportunity to sort of vet how it is to work with someone and get really good momentum with them without having to feel like I need to go to a hiring agency or I need to drop everything and get a really high level person in here and pay them a six figure salary. It's a fun way of operating.
That's great. I think there's a lot to that. And it's interesting. I think you set up the systems and then they get familiar and they find more opportunities. It seems really smart to me. The model makes sense. When you're talking about it too, how much do you really need? How much time do you really need? It's the whole right. Like Pareto principle, right? 80-20 rule, where if for 20% of the time we can get 80% of the results from this, yes. Is that good enough for right now to get us to the next level? Probably, right. Or maybe. Probably. Anyway.
Yeah. In every case that I've been part of, yes, I'll say that.
All right. Seeking exceptions to the rule. If folks are really interested in learning more about you and your work, where can they find you online?
I would love to connect on LinkedIn. I'm Natalie B. Swan there. And they can also check out my website, which is just nataliebswan.com.
That's all for now. You can find show notes at introcrm.com/podcast. The theme music for Pipeline Meeting is by Neighborhood Vandal. If you learned something, consider sharing this show with a friend. Thanks for listening.